As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Kikaecho, CBS Sports Radio. I really believe that what happened this week in Major League Baseball is the biggest thing to happen in professional sports since the NBA instituted the three-point line, or honestly, since the NHL got rid of the center ice line and the two-line pass, as far as transforming the game. Now, Kyle Glazer from Baseball America knows a hell of a lot more about the sport than I do. He's knee-deep in this every day. So, Kyle, am I prone to hyperbole here, or is this minimum three batter rule that has been instituted in Major League Baseball something that you believe has a chance to transform the game in a big, big way?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, managers have talked about this. Pundits have been talking about it for a year. It completely alters the strategy in terms of managers being able to use certain pitchers on certain days. And most of all, it just is going to transform rosters. The lefty one-out specialist, as we know it, is going to be no longer. And for that matter, to some degree, there's some pitchers who are even right-handed that really are really specialized in just dominating right-handed batters. Now you're going to see pitchers who have to have the pitch mix and the command to get batters that hit either righty or lefty out. Otherwise, you know, there's very few teams now where you're going to face three right-handed hitters in a row or three left-handed hitters in a row, and teams aren't going to want to take the chance of, well, maybe if we just get through the end of the inning, because you can also just pitch to the end of the inning. But if you don't get that guy, then all of a sudden you have some unfavorable matchups. It's going to change some of the players in Major League Baseball. It's going to change how managers utilize their pitchers in Major League Baseball, and we're going to see it have a compounding effect on the strategy of the game throughout this year and years to come.
Do you believe it's going to speed up games? Because it is, yeah. It does seem to be. I honestly get frustrated sometimes with the length of games, but sometimes I think like I'm sounding like grumpy old man when I say that.
No, there's no question. I would say the pace is the biggest thing, more than the actual length itself. And there's no question. I don't think even the biggest baseball fan enjoys seeing pitcher come out, throw to one batter. Manager comes out, takes him out. We have another TV timeout. New pitcher comes in, throws to one batter. He comes out, another TV timeout. And before you know it, it's taken 15, 20 minutes just for three different pitchers to face three batters. No one enjoys that. And that is the point of this rule, to ensure that we're not going to have that type of stop and start through the Major League Baseball season.
Kyle Glazer joining us here as we get ready for what has been a really interesting offseason in baseball, and it's continuing. Last year, we were talking about no movement. I remember you joining us and talking about it where, you know, there was even talk of collusion. And now we have a Major League Baseball offseason that has been chock full of signings and, you know, excitement. Why the change this year? Is it the quality of the talent that was out there, or is there something else going on behind the scenes?
Well, some of this is cyclical. I think anytime there's a slow market, people start getting concerned about whether it's collusion or unofficial, quote unquote, coordination. That was the word Tony Clark used.
Yeah, I love that one.
During the All-Star game last season. But some of it is cyclical. There are always free agent classes that move a little slower than others. So that's the first part of it. But I do think the second part of it is twofold. The first is players have learned that if you get a deal early in the offseason, you should probably take it. The last few years, we've seen the players who sign early end up getting a lot of the biggest deals. So guys like Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas now say, hey, I have a four-year, $60-plus million deal on the table. I should take that because that six-year, $100 million deal I want probably isn't coming. So I think players are a little more likely to take a deal they get earlier in the offseason if it hits certain thresholds for them because of what's happened the last few years. And secondly, we saw most of the premier free agents this year be pitchers. We've seen teams have always been a little more willing to pay premium for pitching just because it's so much rarer, even though it's also a lot riskier. When you have guys like Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg available, it's been a while since we've had two pitchers of that caliber get to free agency, and especially after last year's World Series, you know, baseball and every other sport's a copycat league. Every team and every owner sees the World Series last year of, man, it was Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Zach Greinke versus Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin. We need pitching to win. They're going to pay for it.
Tell me a couple teams whose off seasons you've really liked, because everybody's going to say the Yankees with Gerrit Cole, right? Or maybe you weren't as high on that move.
I'm high on the move because if you look at the Yankees, they have all the pieces in place to go contend for a World Series, but they needed that one final piece to get them over the top, and they got it with Gerrit Cole, and they were willing to pay whatever it took to get him. I think that's a good move, especially in today's game where we see so many teams unwilling to make the big move to put them over the top, so I'm fine with the move. You know, it's hard to declare a winner right now because even after all the signings, there's still a lot of offseason left. You know, the Nationals brought Strasburg back. That's a win. They have some holes they still have to fill after losing Anthony Rendon. The Angels signing Anthony Rendon is a great move, but Lord knows they need more pitching, and just acquiring Dylan Bundy in a trade isn't going to be enough. So I think we need to wait through the end of the offseason to declare a formal winner. I think I might lean the White Sox signing Yasmani Grandal, but they also need pitching as well. So let's get to March before we declare winners and losers of the offseason.
I know that there are many people who were high on what the Braves were doing to start the postseason, and it seemed like everything they were worried about was building up that bullpen.
And rightfully so. They had a lot of problems with it for a lot of last season. They actually had to rebuild it on the fly, and I thought that Alex Anthopoulos did a fantastic job. Bringing Cole Hamilton was huge as well. The Braves have definitely had a really good start to the offseason, but again, there's a little bit of an incomplete there because they still have to fill a spot at third base if Josh Donaldson doesn't re-sign. I think if they re-sign him, then yes, it's a clear win for the Braves this offseason, and they have done a lot of things to make themselves a better team, but like I said, it's still an incomplete on the report card in my eyes.
You think Donaldson, when I heard the other day that Texas was potentially out, that the bidding was getting too high, I was figuring that that ruled the Braves out. Did you have a different thought process in that?
You know, it's really difficult to predict what Liberty Media is going to do. They've already come out and shelled out some dollars this offseason, signing guys like Cole Hamels, going getting
sure.
Will Smith. They're a really confusing owner because there are times they go really, really, really cheap. And there's other times they're willing to shell out. We saw them hand extensions to Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies last year, although
great extensions.
They were a little under market.
Yeah.
Great extensions. You know, they did sign Freddie Freeman to a huge contract a few years ago. So, you know, Liberty Media has had years where they're really cheap and years where they're willing to shell out, and you never really know with them. So I don't necessarily count the Braves out just because the Rangers are out.
Do you believe that Chris Bryant will be traded?
No.
I think that
it makes sense for the Cubs to always listen to offers. They definitely have some things they need to address. But despite the fact this team underperformed last year, this is a team that made the playoffs the previous four seasons, made three straight NLCSs in that run. They just had a bad year. And I don't think trading the guy who is, when he's right, when he's healthy, the best player on your team, as well as one of the best personalities in the game, this is a competitive club that has a chance to win this year. Trading Chris Bryant would take away from that. I just have a very hard time seeing the Cubs parting with him. Or, I mean, it would have to be such an overwhelming package that I'm not sure any other team would offer it.
Kyle, what managerial hire did you think potentially has the chance to have the biggest impact?
Joe Maddon with the Angels, far and away. Again, despite the fact that things went poorly for the Cubs last year, you can't argue with his track record, what he did with the Rays, what he did with the Cubs. And also, he's just so energized being back with the Angels, a franchise that he kind of came up in the game through. I think that's going to be a move that's going to stabilize it, the Angels franchise a lot. You know, Mike Socha, his last few years, it was just kind of everyone was done with it. Brad Ausmus last year was a low-energy disaster. Having Joe Maddon back in, I think, just is a shot of adrenaline to the organization and something that will help them get back on the winning track, although he needs better players to work with.
You have been a shot of adrenaline for us this morning. Man, you are wide awake at 9:20 Eastern time.
And I'm on the West Coast. So.
And that's amazing. I can't get over it. Are you riding your Peloton right now? Is that it? You got up for your Peloton ride?
No. I just woke up a little early. I know I
there
need at least 10 minutes to reach full form. So,
well, you did
so
great.
I got up for you.
Kyle, I always appreciate it. Hope you have a great holiday season.
Thanks. You too, John.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.